Let's start with a word of prayer first. Father God, just such a privilege here, Lord, to be able to be here, to listen to your word, Lord, and for me, Lord, to deliver your message, Father God. Yes. I pray that, Lord, today, Lord, you would just help us to take in the whole message, Father God, me included, Lord. Transform our heart, Lord. Let it resonate in our heart, Father God, and no one, nothing can take it away from us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, today my sermon topic is too late? Question mark. You know, a doctor, and he is going to move to his new office. So he's loading up his medical equipment and all his stuff in the trunk of the car, at the back of his car. Okay? So everything is loaded except one thing. It's a full-scale skeleton. Oh, where am I going to put this thing? And then he says, look around. Okay, let's jab it in on the front seat, next to the passenger seat. Okay, and then at that time, after he loaded in, he got a call from the hospital. He said, hey, doctor, we need you right away. You got to come quickly. And then we'll close the door and drive quickly to the hospital. And on the way, he was pulled over by a policeman. And they went on the side, and the policeman said, so what's going on? How come you're driving so fast? And then he said, I got to go to the hospital right away. And then the policeman looked at him, looked at what's that thing on the passenger seat, and then looked at him again, and he said, Doc, I hate to say this, but it seems like you're too late. Stay shy, retiring, middle-aged woman. She was born very small, and she suffered from oxygen deprivation. And the doctor actually told her parents that, you know, it's best to accept her, that she will never be anything. Don't expect too much from her. And when she was a child, she was slow in learning in school. You know, despite of all the challenges, you know, she tried to live a normal life. And she lived with her mom until her mother died. And she decided that she should enter herself into a nationwide television talent show. And that's how it goes. Jensen.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest problem.
prize I have had in 3 years of the show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning. An incredible performance. No, in the truth. Here's yes or no. The biggest yes I have ever given anyone.
Amanda?
Yes, definitely.
Susan Boyle, you can go back to the village with your head held high. It's three S's.
Sorry. So, you know, after that, then everything became history. She got her first album after 6 months from that, and then her after the album was released, it was on the number one chart around the globe. You know, it's not too bad for 47 years old starting a new career, right? You know, oftentimes we operate at our own timetable. And even worse, we operate at other people's timetable. We accept what the world tells us. Okay, it's time to do this. It's time to do that. Oh, it's not time to do this. Oh no, it's too late. You will never be able to make it. You know, in the Bible, Abraham got caught up with the same thing. When the Lord promised him a son. In Genesis 17:17, that's memory. When Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You know, his son was probably not on Abraham's timetable when he was 100 years old. That's what he thought. But for the Lord, he has an entirely different timetable for us. We may think it's too late for us, but not for the Lord. Samson, a mighty man, then the Lord blessed him with the strength to defeat the Philistines. He was doing great until he lost on a woman. To make a long story short, he lost his strength, his eyes, his dignity. He became a slave for the Philistines. And all hope seems to be lost. It seems too late to turn things around. And at that moment, an opportunity was presented to him. And in Judges 16:28, it said here, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me. I pray just this once, O Lord, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And what God did? He answered. In the book of John, Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, brother of Mary and Martha, he was sick, so Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus to come. But Jesus didn't go to Lazarus right away. He spent two more days where he was at before heading to Bethany, where Lazarus was. And when Jesus arrived, people told him, Lazarus has already buried for 4 days. And first, when Martha saw Jesus, in John 11:21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then after that, Mary saw Jesus. In John 11:32, then when Mary came when Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So in other words, what they are saying is, Lord, you are a little too late. It always seems too late for us, but not for the Lord. John 11:43-44. Now, when he said this thing, he, yes, Jesus, cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with great clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." It's never, never too late for the Lord. So you think about it. How about salvation? You know, people often ask, is it too late for me to get right with God, to ask Jesus into my life? I have done so many bad things in my life. I mess up big time. I disappoint so many people. I broke so many hearts. Things that I'm not proud of. So, here's the answer. If you look at Luke 23, 39 to 43, there's when Jesus was on the cross. Okay? One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So, you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you are at it." For the other criminal protests, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." So there were two criminals hanging next to Jesus. They both knew their life going to end today. But the difference is that one criminal, he came to his senses and acknowledged Jesus. He acknowledged him. In Luke 12:8, here it says, "I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledged me," that's Jesus, "before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angel of God." And that's what Jesus said. Jesus assured him that he will be with him in paradise today. Now, how awesome is that? As long as we are living, breathing, we can get right with God. And we can be with him in paradise. Now, that's always someone arguing, saying, "So, that doesn't seem to be fair. How can someone receive salvation without putting in their time with the Lord?" Now, first, remember, none of us deserve to be saved. And second of all, look at Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 here. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, we can't really justify by showing the time card that we punch with the Lord. And here's an illustration. A boy once asked his pastor, "Sir, what can I do to be saved?" And the pastor replied, "Son, you are too late." "What?" The boy was shocked to hear that. "Too late to be saved?" "No," said the pastor, "too late to do anything. You see, son, Jesus had did it 2,000 years ago. See, it is not our work, but all the grace of the Lord." I'm going to read you this parable in Matthew 21-5. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them 1 denarius for the day he sent them into his vineyard. So the first time he went there. About 9 in the morning, the second time, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again, it's the third time, about noon. And about 3, in the afternoon, just fourth time, and did the same thing. Now, about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one and going on to the first." The worker who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received 1 denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one also received 1 denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," he said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for 1 denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who has hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So for this parable, what do you guys think? Is it about grace or is it about fairness?
Grace.
It should be about grace. That's right. See, the landowner extended his invitation to as many as he can. How many times? 5 times. He went out to take people in for those who need work. And for some of us, well, me included, at the back of my mind questioning, is it just a little unfair for those that hired early on? But see, imagine a life in the marketplace. Before we were hired, we were just standing there, doing nothing, wasting our time, wasting our life, wasting our talent, and probably worrying about money too. Oh, am I going to be able to pay my rent? Am I able to buy food? Or am I able to provide for my family? You know, but once we were fortunate enough to be hired, we have the privilege to receive the fulfillment, the satisfaction in life, be able to use our talent, and we have the peace of mind. And we know that we will receive the wages at the end of the day. And suddenly there's hope again. And at this point, everybody think about it, at this point, does this seem like it's a blessing for us? Blessing from the sky, right? And besides, we agreed upon, we'll receive 1 denarius for our wages. We do not expect less, and we should not expect more. So why things change? When the landowner paid the people who work only 1 hour the same as those that who work early in the morning. See, the problem is that it's us. Just like in the scriptures say, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. It doesn't change. It's us that's changed. I think we are just simply stumbled by the grace and the generosity of our Lord. He gave us every opportunity that he can give us to accept his invitation, even in the very last hours. You know, and more importantly, we have realized that he loved those who accept the invitation in the very last hour as much as he loves those who received it early on. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't his, you know, it's just his grace so powerful, so huge? So there's always someone asked. So I can get my salvation. It seems like I can get my salvation at the last minute of my life. So does that mean I can just enjoy the world offers me as long as I accept Christ right before my last breath? and I'll be fine. You know, and there's a problem with that. And let me get some back straight first, okay? First, our life will eventually expire on this earth. Look at Hebrews 9:27. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. We are going to die one way or another. 100%, be sure about that. And according to the Bible, after we die, there are two destinations. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are comforted, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, present with the Lord. See here, it says, if you're absent from our body, that means we die. And he's present with the Lord. So destination number one, that's a place where the Lord is. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. In flaming fire, that's the Lord, take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Destination number two, a place everlasting apart from the Lord. A place that is absent forever-lasting from the Lord. So just to oversimplify things. So we live, we die, and we go to one of the two eternal places, right? Now, he is the game changer for those who plan on doing his last breath and receive Christ. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me is scattered abroad. Luke 13:5, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So in other words, if someone has not made a conscious decision to accept Christ, that someone has already made a decision of not receiving Christ. Right? Just like this one way or the other. Say for a woman's pregnancy. Either you are pregnant or you are not. You're either with Christ or you are not with Christ. Right? So, if there's someone make a choice of not accepting Christ, where do you think that person is going to spend his eternal life? Now, if you plan on doing the last minute thing, can you really be certain that you can make it on time? And the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 6:2, for God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. James 4:13-14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now, if you don't know about what happened tomorrow, how can someone plan on salvation at the last moment of his life? And besides, God is sovereign. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And particularly to those who are not walking with him. Genesis 38:7. But okay, that's right, it's not a typo. ER. And I asked my wife about that. Are you sure that's the right word? Yeah, sounds like an error, which is kind of right. Judah's person was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord healed him. In Acts 5, Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, lied to God. Acts 5:5. Then Ananias, hearing this word, fell down and breathed his last. Again, Acts 5:10. Then immediately she, as the wife, fell down at his feet and breathed her last. The Acts 12 parable. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Pretty sad. So for people that is doing things that is not pleasing with the Lord, they are walking on thin ice. Harming their own death, that's probably not a good idea. And besides, you are doing this harming thing, that means you are deliberately sinning. And in this verse, Hebrews 10:26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice of sin is left. So what this verse is telling me is that if we know the truth, if we know that Jesus Christ will die on the cross for us, who paid for our sins, who conquered death, and he resurrected. But if we don't show any respect, we don't show any appreciation, we don't show any gratitude to what he has done for us, and we keep on sinning, then there's nothing we can sacrifice to atone our sin. So timing one step, especially for deliberate sinner, doesn't look like a Bible showing, right? And sin is anything but good. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2. It is your sin that you have cut off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away. He will not listen anymore. Sin robs our freedom. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." It's like addiction. When people addicted on something, you just become a slave of it. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. And sin has consequences. When we sin, even though we are forgiven, there are consequences we need to deal with. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's try to imagine here. If a husband committed adultery, even though his sin is forgiven by God, he still needs to live with the fact that he hurt his loved ones. He has broken the trust from his wife. He lost the respect from his children, and he may even lose his job. And let's bring back Samson, because of his lust of his eyes, he paid a very heavy price. He lost his eyesight, he lost his strength, he lost his dignity, and he lost his hair. And David with Bathsheba, he planned for the murder of her husband. You know, although God forgave David, the consequence is that he lost his child. But you know, brother and sister, despite all that, he did get right with God. And the Lord is with them. Even though so much hard time they have, at every moment of their hardship, the Lord is with them. It's by the grace of the Lord that they can endure the storm of their lives. So let me just recap of what I just said here. So first is that it's never, never ever too late to receive Christ as long as we are living and breathing. And number two, don't wait don't wait. Our life is like a mist, just like the verse said. So if anyone that you know, or you yourself, I urge you, tell them to get right with God. Accept His invitation. The earlier, the better. Just like the worker in the vineyard, we want to accept, receive the grace. Don't wait. Life is like a race. I'm going to end off with a song. Let's bring us sum up this topic.
I see you staring at the sky. All of your regrets just running down your face. You think you finally crossed the line. Feel you sealed your fate. It's never too late. Come on, help.
Said, you know, it's never too late. But you know, that's the thing. As long as we have breath, don't matter what your past is, we can always go to God and He's going to welcome you. He's going to receive you. Don't matter what you've done. But if your heart is crying out to God, He says, I'm going to receive you. I'm going to show you that I am truly your Father God. He will never turn you away because He loves you that much. And we realize, you know, some people may say, you know what? Yeah, okay, I'll go to church and I'll do my part, I'll pray and I'll read my Bible, but I still want to have fun. I still want to do things my way. But you kind of realize when we are on that path, you have to wonder, what is God thinking? Knowing that He loves you so much and you're just saying, you know what? Lord, I know sin displeases you, but I still want to do it. You know, I just read recently, you know, about the very fact that sometimes, you know, I remember one person was describing the very fact that, you know, he's confused every time it seems like when he does his laundry, and after he dries his laundry, he always notices that, you know, he may have like 12 pair of socks. And it seems like, you know, he only can find like 7 or 8 pairs, and the rest are by itself. You ever had that situation? I know I always experienced that, and it just seems like, what happened to my other socks? Did my laundry machine eat the socks or something? And, you know, for this particular person, he described the very fact that he has this dog. It has a Great Dane. And one day, his Great Dane wasn't doing so well. It looked like, you know, it was like gagging. It looked very sick. So he took this dog to the vet. And the vet gave the dog an x-ray and discovered there's this huge clump in the dog's stomach. And so what the doctor did, he said, I'm going to have to do surgery. So he opened up the dog, he cut open the stomach, and guess what was in the stomach? Socks. 44 and a half socks. And I guess that's what his limit was. He couldn't go beyond 44 and a half. So you kind of think about that. You know, there's a scripture. It says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly, or back to his sins. And we realize, when I thought about that, you know what? Just like that dog, right? He's thinking, oh, this is good. I'm going to keep on eating it. But there's going to come to a point where, you know what? He's going to experience death or destruction. And this dog could have died. You got to understand that. But we know God in His great mercy and love for us, He sustains us. And even though we may be in our sins, God says, turn away. Don't continue in that path, because you will experience death and destruction. And we must listen to that voice, because the devil is going to tell you, no, it's all right. Everyone is doing it. Just keep doing it. You're enjoying this. It's all about you. But really, we realize when we come to Christ, we made a decision. We received Him. We chose Him. And we know once we said yes to Christ, we're set apart. We are not to be like the world. We are be of Christ. Amen? Amen. And our hearts, our lives must represent Him well. There's people around us. They're watching us every day. Are we representing Jesus well? Because that's what God wants. He desires from us to live a life that is true to Him. And, you know, I got to tell you, just the other day I was reading on Yahoo. I don't know if you heard about this. There were two British tourists that went to Thailand. And it was a couple. It was a girlfriend and boyfriend. But what happened was they were both murdered by these two young Thai citizens. And it turned out that the woman was raped and then murdered. And, you know, I mean, the village that these two young men were at, I mean, they were upset at them because of the very fact that now a lot of people don't want to go to this spot. Because this was a very famous, very popular tourist spot. And I remember in the article, it was talking about the very fact. There was this one government official that made this statement. You know what he said? He says, no wonder that, you know, the very fact that this happened was because a lot of these tourists, they come in their bikinis. And you can understand why these two young men did what they did. Man, with a statement like that, would you want to go to this tourist spot? And you know what? I remember an article, it says he was, oh man, rebuked by the other officials of the city. And he apologized afterwards. But you know what? The world You know, they give us excuses. You know, say, oh, it's okay to do that. It's acceptable. It's all right. But deep in your heart, you know it's not right. You don't go there. You say, I am set apart for God. I am consecrated unto my Lord God to do great and mighty works. And we got to live life that is true to God. We do not let the world influence us in doing things that displease our Father God. Because we got to understand, you know, like my brother said, as long as you have breath, you choose to praise God. Because you know what? If you don't choose the way of God, you can say you're a Christian, but you don't choose the ways of God, there's going to be a day where it is going to be too late. And you're going to know it because you already have taken your last breath and you're not where you thought you would be. Instead of being in the eternal presence of God, guess what? You're going to be in the other place my brother talked about. Then it's too late. You'll be eternally separated from God. There's no way you can turn it back. No, it's too late. And that's why we got to make sure. The Bible tells us we are to live lives that are pleasing to God. We got to make sure our hearts truly are surrendered to Him, saying, Lord, I know I can't do it, but You can. You will do it through me. And we must come with a heart fully submitted to God, because the Bible says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and the devil, he will flee. He will get out, because he knows your heart truly belongs to God. And if you truly live a life that is true to God, you know God will bless you. You know your life will be daily touched by our Father God. You're going to see miracles happen in your life. You're going to see blessings being poured forth. But it's a decision we make, isn't it? We got to make sure we're fully surrendered to God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's close our eyes. Let's come before our Lord God. Oh, Father in heaven, we just want to thank You, Lord, for this message spoken by my brother, Lawrence. I know it truly has touched my heart. I know it probably touched everybody's heart in this very place. And Father, help us to truly understand the very fact that if we're not living a life that is real to You, if we say we are a Christian just because we do the minimum. Yeah, we go to church and we read a Bible once in a while, but we're not truly representing You well. Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit will just speak to us right now. Oh Lord, convict us, please convict us of our sins. Speak to us in ways that will truly transform us, as You always do, Lord. Help us to realize that that's what You desire from us, that we are to be set apart for You, so that the world may see that this is truly, truly, Lord, hearts desire from You for us to live life that is pleasing to You. And Father, we know we can't do it alone. We need Your help. And I pray, Lord, that as we represent You well, the whole world will also want to come to know our Lord and Savior. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed right now, You're saying, you know, I realize, Pastor Ben, that after listening to the word, I got to shape up. I got to make sure my life is right. Well, I want you to understand, first of all, you're not in it alone. God will help you. You cry out to the name of Jesus, and He will come, and He will show you the way. He will strengthen you, and He will give you what you need to live a life that is victorious. And if that's you, you're saying, Lord, I'm doing it Your way. I surrender to You because, Lord, I want to be certain that I am a child of God, that I am certain that on that day I take my last breath, to be away from my body is to be with Christ. And I know as I take my last breath, I have no doubt, I have great certainty that I will be standing right before You, Father. I'll be standing right before Jesus, and I'm going to be falling right into the arms of my Lord and Savior. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm living for you. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me? Lord, I surrender all of me unto you. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But more importantly, it's the hearts behind those very hands saying, Lord, I'm done. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. Lord, I want to be true to you. I'm going to live my life fully submitted to you. Father, show me, teach me. Lead the way, Lord, so I can walk in your truth. So that I know I will be blessed in every area of my life. Father, I pray right now that your holy presence will just fill this entire room. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your presence just fall upon your children right now. Let your presence just be magnified in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our lives. It's all yours, Lord. Our lives belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God. With his son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, the first thing you can do is you can pray this prayer. But you know what? Just this prayer alone will not get you saved. It's something that you must know is coming from deep within your heart, within your souls. You're crying out to God. As you speak these words, you know God is listening. And as you truly say, Lord, I surrender all. You know, God, he loves a heart that is willing to be fully submitted to him. He will take your heart and he will transform your life. He will make you into the person that he wants you to be. But we must come with truly hearts that says, Lord, it's all yours. And if you know there's a tugging in your heart right now, know that's the Holy Spirit. He's probably telling you, come. Come, child, it's time you give your heart fully to God. Surrender your life so that Father God can bless you. He needs you to fully surrender to him. And right now, if you are ready and you are willing, as my brother had said in that verse, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Today is the day that you go to Jesus and you let him put his arms embrace around you. And if you are ready, you are willing, you're saying yes to Jesus. Can you raise your hand right now and say, yes, Lord, I say yes to you with my whole heart, with my whole life. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Won't you pray this prayer? Pray it out loud with me. And remember, pray it from deep within your souls. As you show God that this is something you're so sincere about, he's going to receive your prayer. And you're going to start seeing things happen in your life. He's going to start moving in your life. Just repeat after me this prayer. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your son Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself. and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. And I live for a moment. I am property of Jesus Christ. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Let's all stand.